Dodgers are looking at the Yankees nowadays like, y'all the broke boys? Y'all money all right? Y'all need
to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports in a Real podcast, coming at you once again. As always, I appreciate you guys hopping on for a few minutes. I don't take it for granted. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share if you haven't. Check out the website, wherever you're listening, you know, watching. I appreciate it. Coming along for the ride for a few minutes. I appreciate you guys. All right, let's jump into it. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that, you know, this is like a sports fan's, you know, favorite time of the year. We got NBA about to start. We got football right in the middle of the season. Hockey's about to start or just starting off. And in the baseball World Series, right? This is when you get the classic games, the game sevens and, you know, home runs, crazy home runs. Like, this is when, you know, stuff gets tight in baseball. So the Dodgers are going back to the World Series, of course, because they pay for it. That's what they do. Last several years, the Dodgers have been in the World Series. They become the Yankees, what the Yankees were in the 90s, you know, in 2000s, which is pretty much, we're going to buy our rings, all right? Ain't nothing you could do about it. George Steinbrenner, you know, always had that mean mug on his face. You know, people, nobody liked the Yankees back then. Gotham City, you know, I don't know if it's a New York accent, you know, the beautiful women that was always around the Yankees with Derek Jeter and A-Rod, whatever it is, we didn't like the Yankees, bro. The pinstripes, right? They were always winning. It seemed like it, even though they paid a lot of times the Yankees paid for expensive rosters and didn't win. But it seemed like they won a lot, and they did. They won quite a bit. But we didn't like the Yankees, man. But the Dodgers are outspending the Yankees nowadays. And the Dodgers are looking at the Yankees nowadays like, y'all the broke boys? Y'all money all right? Y'all need help? Dodgers are looking at the Yankees like, y'all all right? Y'all need some change? Because the Dodgers are paying like whoever, whenever, whatever they want. This year, their payroll was starting off the year $350 million. They were in a luxury tax. I don't know why baseball is wasting their time with this luxury tax thing when they know they got these markets that are going to pay whatever. Like, if they call it the competitive balance tax, knowing good and dang well the Dodgers are going to pay it and the New York teams are going to pay it. Come on, man. So anyway, the Dodgers are pretty much buying rings now with Shohei and all these guys, and Mookie Betts is expensive, but they don't care. But I don't feel like the Dodgers are getting the hate that the Yankees used to get. I don't know if it's the left coast. You know, the left coast is not hated as much as the East Coast. Get a cool team, you know, nice jerseys. You know, it's not the pinstripes. The pinstripes just had something to them that made people hate them. Maybe it was just, I don't know, Steinbrenner just, I don't know, man. The way he ran things like it was the mafia. But the Yankees were hated on, and I'm at the point where I'm like, yo, I'm going to root for the Blue Jays. Besides the storylines and the fact that they ain't been there for 30-something years, I'm just going to root for the Blue Jays because I'm tired of seeing the Dodgers win again. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is nice. Mookie Betts is nice. Like, dudes are top of their game. But I'm not one to sit here and watch people buy championships. I hate it, man. Build a damn team. Build a team. Man, when I say build, I mean actually build a roster, not pay for the roster. Somebody's going to say, well, they did build a team. They built the team with money. No, I'm talking about actually, you know, put talent together, grow your own talent. Yeah, I know they grow Shohei. I don't like grow your talent, right? But I'm rooting for the Jays. I remember watching the Blue Jays as a kid, you know, watching Joe Carter's, you know, game seven home runs, you know, beating the Phillies. Like, those things bring chills to me. Like, those are memories as a child when I actually had time to watch baseball and, you know, enjoyed it. But my goodness, the Jays are up against a monster when you look at the freaking salary, when you look at the payroll. So let's go Jays. All right, do it for Toronto. Do it for Canada. All right, Vladimir Guerrero's kid is, he's not playing for the Expos, but he's playing for the Blue Jays, which is in Canada. A lot of storylines coming up in Major League Baseball World Series, man. I'm going to be tuned in. I don't watch much baseball nowadays, right? Again, don't have time to watch 162 games. Playoffs, World Series, I'm going to be there. All right, so that's the quick baseball hit. College football this weekend was kind of wild, all right? Let's go with the good first, all right? The good is Ohio State is really good. Ohio State should win the national championship in college football. I don't really see a team that can beat Ohio State when they're on their game. They got the offense. Their quarterback is good. They got the best receiver, maybe best player in college football, according to some first game of the season. Gus Johnson said Jeremiah Smith was the best player in college football. He was going to win the Heisman. He's nice, real nice. Their defense is legit. Their defense has held teams like average point per game is for the season like 7 points. Their average margin of victory is 30 points a game. This weekend, Ohio State smashed Wisconsin 34-0. Okay, well, Wisconsin not on their level. Week before, they smashed Illinois 34-16. Illinois was supposed to be a pretty good team. Ohio State has a really good squad. If anybody is dominant this season in the NIL, you know, kind of landscape of college football, it's Ohio State. And if they don't win a championship, that's going to be the shocker. And I've been waiting for somebody to show that they're dominant, right? Like, sports are better when there's a dominant team that everybody's shooting their arrows at. And right now, nobody got nothing for Ohio State. So Julian's saying your quarterback's a Heisman hopeful. I said Jeremiah Smith is a Heisman hopeful. Like, they got a squad full of NFL players, NFL talent. Their defensive coordinator was an NFL coordinator, right? He's dialing them up. I mean, they got a team. So if Ohio State doesn't win, I'm going to say it now. I'm going to put pressure on Ohio State Buckeyes. If the Buckeyes don't win the championship, that's a disappointing year because they got the best squad. Every other team that we think is good has a hole. For example, UGA is supposed to be a top, you know, five, whatever team they are. UGA's defense is actually not good. They beat Ole Miss, but Trinidad Chambliss was looking like second coming of, I don't know what, Russell Wilson or something like that in college. Prime Russ. They couldn't stop him till the very end. And actually, they didn't really stop Trinidad Chambliss. Like, you just missed some passes because he had guys open towards the end. They should have won that game. Ole Miss should have won that game. So I don't know if, you know, UGA's defense is good enough if they were to play somebody like Ohio State. Because they sure weren't good enough to beat Alabama. And then LSU is, you know, supposed to be a really good team with good defense, and they get ran through by Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt put up 31 on them. So as I'm watching these SEC teams play, Texas A&M, you know, they're SEC now. They weren't SEC before. I guess they still got some leftover Big 12 in them. I don't know. It's been years now. Been a couple years now. But they, you know, they let teams score a lot of points on them. But as I'm watching these SEC games, which is the point I wanted to get to, is what happened to defense in the SEC? What happened to great defenses? Now, I'm not looking for scores to be up there, you know, 63 like we had, you know, Alabama, LSU back in the day. I'm not looking for that. But I am looking for some semblance of defense of SEC football. When I turn on to watch the SEC, I'm not turning to watch Big 12 old school Texas Tech kind of scoring, bro. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, Baylor type of scores when I'm watching the SEC, man. And when I'm watching UGA, Ole Miss, I'm like, who's going to get a stop? Who's going to play actual SEC defense? Kirby Smart's supposed to be a defensive coach. His defense right now ain't that good. So where is the SEC's, like, defensive athletes that everybody talks about? They got the best athletes and the best players, and SEC defenses look no different than anybody else. Like, where is the guys who are going to hit somebody? Yeah, I know teams are throwing it all over the ballpark now and they're spreading you out and so on and so forth. But Ohio State ain't got no problem stopping those teams. And actually, the Gators' defense is pretty good. If the Gators had a quarterback, if DJ Lagway wasn't so bad, the Gators might actually have a good record. And we'll talk about the Gators in a bit. We'll save that for later on. But where is SEC's defense, man? I miss, and it's all over, you know, football in general. But I kind of want to see the SEC look different. Like, when you watch the SEC, like, I want to see them not look like I'm watching Texas Tech, Baylor, or Oklahoma State or somebody. Like, those are games that you're like, okay, you know, we know it's going to be a shootout going in. You know, somebody's going to score 50 points. And when you're watching, you know, the SEC now, like, you know, teams are liable to score 50 points. And it's all fun and games. But at some point, you know, you're like, you want to see some balance. And watching UGA versus Ole Miss the other day, there was literally no defense. If Ole Miss could have played any lick of defense, they won the game. And they couldn't. So they lost. They lost. I don't know if UGA should be patting themselves on the back, because that wasn't a great performance at all. University of Miami lost to Louisville. That kicked off the weekend on Thursday night. And I said it, man. I said, look, I think Miami has the schedule after they beat Florida State. I was like, man, Miami has a schedule to run the table. But if y'all go back and watch that episode, I said, but if Mario Cristobal doesn't mess things up, if the coaching doesn't mess things up, and they did. And Mario Cristobal has done a good job. He's turned the program around. I don't want to hate on the cat. You know, I don't want to sound like a UM hater. But I feel like he's got some to learn as a coach in terms of adjustments, in terms of, you know, when I watch Miami play, it's like if they're doing good and things are going as scripted, like they're able to do what they do. Their defense is able to do what they do. You know, they're able to stay on schedule with their offense. But as soon as a team makes them go off script, it's been like that the last couple of years, whether it's Georgia Tech or whatever, right? They look off, and they looked off against Louisville. And, of course, Carson Beck throws four picks. After the game, he throws his receiver under the bus for that last pick. I mean, they're still in the hunt to win the ACC, I guess, which is not a great conference right now. Like, Clemson sucks. We'll talk about Florida State in a bit. But I really thought UM had a chance to run the table and represent the ACC in the playoffs and, you know, put on a good showing. But now, I don't know, because I don't trust their coaching. They may end up losing again simply because I don't think the coaching, when teams, like, figure out how to match up with them and take them out of their comfort zone and do things that they're not expecting, I don't know if they have the coaching to adjust. But hey, who am I? I'm not a coach. I don't coach football. But I see what I see. And something told me that despite the schedule lining up for UM, that the coaching for some reason wasn't gonna line up to the point where they could actually run the table like that. Oh well. I'm never mad when UM loses. All right. So my Seminoles lost again. I don't really want to keep talking about my teams this year. This probably might be like my last week that I talk about Florida State and the Dolphins. We'll get to that later. Florida State lost to Stanford, and the storm is now picking up into this Mike Norvell getting fired thing. The AD comes out and says, we're not going to fire him during the season. Can't blame them. Buyout is too big, but the buyout is still big after the season. They lost to Stanford, and I'm watching that game. It's freaking late at night. Why do I do this to myself? I'm torturing myself watching the Seminoles play 10:30, you know, Eastern time. They're playing at Stanford. And first of all, I'm a pause right there. I thought the NCAA cared about the kids. Why did they align Stanford, these West Coast teams, with to play against East Coast teams, and you're flying across the country and you're dead tired playing on the West Coast? Like, you're liable to get hurt. Tommy Castellanos actually gets knocked out of the game late. I mean, anyway, we know they never cared about the kids. That's just me wondering what the hell is going on and why are my Seminoles playing in California when they're in the ACC. So we get smacked by Stanford, who's not a good team. And the storm is picking up around Mike Norvell. He's probably not going to get fired until the end of the season. But then on Sunday, Billy Napier gets fired. Florida head coach. Now, his buyout was only like $21 million or something like that. But how can Florida State raise enough money to make sure that we get a new coach after this year? This season's gone, so there's no point of making a switch, right? There is no point of Florida State firing Mike Norvell now. Season's over. We're not going to do anything. Let them ride it out. But after the season, we have to get a new coach. We're going to lose recruits. Like, this is going to set Florida State back again. And Florida, you know, makes the move mid-year. You know, Penn State makes the move mid-year with James Franklin. Florida says peace out to Napier, who is 22 and 23, you know, 12 and 16 in the SEC. The problem is Mike Norvell's record ain't that great either. And his record's really boosted by, you know, the Jordan Travis year and the year they went undefeated. Other than that, he's sub 500. And the sub 500, terrible years, man. Terrible, terrible years. Like, that first year sucked. I remember it. And last year sucked. And this year sucks. After a promising start, we suck. And everybody in the nation predicted us to be bad, but we actually have more talent than what the record shows, but we are just not good. We're not good. So Florida State has to make sure they get enough money, you know, for Mike Norvell to ride off into the sunset comfortably. And we have to hit on the next coach if we're going to be competing. And they're supposedly moving to the Big Ten. Like, we're going to get smacked if we go to the Big Ten playing like this, looking like this. Like, we have to restore Florida State football, man. I can't take it anymore. So, yeah, Billy Napier is gone, and Mike Norvell should be next. I think, hopefully, that's the last time I have to talk about Florida State on this podcast this year. I'm tired of talking about the same stuff over and over. We suck. We're not good. We're not. Let's move on to the NFL, y'all. Talk some positive stuff. The Patriots won again. Looking real good. I hate talking about the Patriots, longtime rival, but they look good. And I'm watching them because I'm wondering, they smashed the Titans. The Titans suck. But I'm wondering, is Drake May a franchise quarterback? Are Patriots fans celebrating that? Do they think they got a franchise quarterback? Now, of course, it's early in the year. You know, things change. People, you know, game plan more and things like that, right? But hey, man, Drake May is looking good. I can't deny it. He's looking really good. You know, youngster, second year. I'm proud of the guy. I'm proud of him. 12 touchdowns, 2 picks, the stats stay here. Top 10 in yards and touchdowns. Drake May. I bet you nobody was saying that last year. So it got me wondering. Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels has to be like the craziest story when it comes to like just switches, right? Like switching on and off. As an offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels won Super Bowls. He is legit. You know, he won with Tom Brady, and now he's making Drake May look like an all-pro. Josh McDaniels, the head coach, sucks, and his quarterbacks look terrible. I, for the life of me, I don't understand how that happens. How are you this good as a coordinator, but so trash as a head coach? Listen, not everyone's built to be a head coach, right? I understand that. I understand that some guys are meant to be coordinators. But I don't know anybody who looks so good as a coordinator, but then the position that they're supposed to be good at looks so bad when they're a head coach. Like, you would expect Josh McDaniels' offense, even though he may not be a true head coach, to be able to control an entire team, you would expect his offense to be good when he's a head coach. His offense usually suck, and he can't get along with his quarterbacks. He can't get along with anybody. But as an offensive coordinator, he's great. I don't understand that. I really don't. I wish somebody could explain that to me. How do you go from great offensive coordinator to just terrible, terrible head coach, a failure each time you get an opportunity? Oh, I don't want to take interviews and all this stuff. It's wild, man. It's wild. Well, shout out to him. He's found his role, man. He should just stick with the Patriots. Stay with Vrabel. They'll win a lot of games. If Drake May continues to develop and play well, my goodness. Meanwhile, my Dolphins suck. I'll talk about that later. Are the Colts legit? Like, seriously, are the Indianapolis Colts the best team in the AFC? If not the best team, definitely the second best team. Like, if the Colts right now aren't the best team in the AFC, they're the second best team. Now, personally, I have a hard time putting anybody above the Chiefs, but that's just me. That's just because of their pedigree. That's because of Pat. That's because of, you know, Chris Jones and Kelsey. Respect for those guys. And, of course, Andy Reid is a great head coach. You know, I talked about him being, like, probably the GOAT head coach, being able to do it with multiple quarterbacks, multiple teams. So the Chiefs, right, if you were going to get the Chiefs, you should have gotten them before when their offense was struggling last year and they still went to the Super Bowl. Last year, they averaged like 22 points a game. This year, the Chiefs are averaging like 26, 27 points a game. The league is in some trouble. As much as I hate to say it, the Chiefs are probably going to go back to the Super Bowl. I predicted it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm really confident in that now. Because now they're scoring again. A couple weeks ago, I didn't think they could score again like that. But they got some speedsters now at receiver. Kelsey's still reliable. So those receivers, you know, take the roof off the defense. And Kelsey's able to run underneath and do his thing still. Patrick is still Patrick. Andy Reid is still Andy Reid. Like, they got an offense again. You let The NFL let the Chiefs get an offense again. So guess what? Good night, good fight. These guys are going to go back to the Super Bowl again. They were talking about it on the broadcast, you know, last week, how much speed they got. Like, they got three receivers that run like 4.3s or sub 4.3s. At least three receivers on the roster. Xavier Worthy runs like a 4.2 something. Tyquan Thornton is fast. Hollywood is fast. Like, you giving Patrick Mahomes that much speed? And you know what they do in the playoffs. You know how the defense comes up in the playoffs. So the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl again, in my opinion. They're like that. They smashed the Raiders 31-0. I don't know what's going on with the Raiders. Geno got like 10 picks already this season. Yikes. He might get benched. But the Chiefs are like that. So if they're number one, if the Chiefs are number one, the Colts are definitely the number two ranked team, right? The second best team in the AFC. And they're legit. They beat the Chargers by 14 points. The Chargers, who some people, including me, thought would be really good. Their division, right? The AFC South isn't that great. But Daniel Jones is balling out of control, man. I hate to say it. It pains me to say Daniel Jones is balling out of control. The man is top five in yards passing. Daniel Jones? Yeah, that Daniel Jones. Jonathan Taylor is maybe the best running back in the NFL. With Saquon not getting the ball as much in Philly, Jonathan Taylor's leading the league in rushing. He already got 10 touchdowns. He might go for 2K this season if he keeps the pace up. So they got a good quarterback. I hate saying that. Great running back. Defense is okay, not great. They just make enough plays to win. I think the coach should feel comfortable, like, and confident that we can beat anybody in the AFC. We can. Now, they'll probably run up against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs in the playoffs, you don't want to see them. But the coach should feel confident that with our O-line, the way we play and how we score, like, the coach should feel confident that they're not backing down from anybody. Again, I still think the Chiefs are going to win or go back to the Super Bowl. So they're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But the Colts right now look legit. And they kind of remind me of the Tennessee Titans from a few years back. 2019 Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill comes over from the Dolphins, who everybody had given up on. Everybody thought, outside of me, everybody thought Ryan Tannehill was a scrub. He takes over for Marcus Mariota in Tennessee, and they go on a run, surprise run. Their offense scores easily. Their defense was opportunistic. Like, Daniel Jones is Ryan Tannehill. Jonathan Taylor is Derrick Henry. Although he's not as beastly. But position-wise, like, Derrick Henry was the best running back in 2019. Right now, best running back is Jonathan Taylor. And they are poised to go on a run. And I would not be surprised if the Indianapolis Colts end up AFC championship game this season. I would not. Just like the Titans, and nobody was expecting the Titans in 2019 to do anything. Everybody had given up on Ryan Tannehill's career and Derrick Henry. You know, nobody really knew. Like, people knew Derrick Henry, but they didn't think he was that good. Right? And then he, you know, when Tannehill takes over for Mariota, you know, Derrick turns into a monster. Jonathan Taylor, you know, was good a couple years ago, gets hurt. You know, people forgot about him, and now he's a monster. I see a lot of similarities, AFC South team. I see a lot of similarities between that 2019 Titans team and this year's Colts team. People going to sleep on them. People going to say, oh, it's only Daniel Jones. And you're right. I'm going to say, oh, it's only Daniel Jones. I'm going to agree with you. But I can't deny what I'm seeing right now. Like, he's not putting the ball in harm's way. Like, he's not out there wilding like he was with New York, taking chances. Like, he doesn't need to. He's protected. He just plays well. Guys are open. He throws in the ball. Jonathan Taylor does his thing, and they keep winning games. Like, it felt like they dominated the Chargers the other day. It really did. So we'll see. We'll check back in later in the year, but I'm confident that the Colts are going to keep winning, and they're likely to end up in the championship game. All right. That was the good. Here's the bad. All right. I mentioned that I don't want to talk much more about my Dolphins this season, but I had to. Tuaf again throws three picks against Cleveland in Cleveland. Yeah, blame the rain, whatever you want. It was ugly. Ugly. And any day now, Mike McDaniel should be fired. Now, team has come out and said it's probably not going to happen, you know, till after the season. They're going to reevaluate. Whatever, man. It's over. It's been over. All right? The team's been soft. The team's been had no real identity outside of when Cheetah's there and we score a lot of points. But against the best teams, right, the last several years, against the good teams, the Dolphins haven't been good. So this isn't a surprise now. And I said this, man, when they were talking about Tyreek Hill getting traded. Unfortunately, he gets hurt. But I knew once Tyreek went missing, so would Tua in different ways. Tyreek is on IR. Tua is just on the back of a milk carton. I knew it. because Tyreek was a safety blanket. He was just, you know, lob these passes down to Tyreek, who's wide open. As good as Jalen Waddle is, he's not Tyreek. So now we're getting smashed by teams like the Browns, who suck. Dylan Gabriel, you know, is not ready for prime time. But our defense couldn't really do anything against the Browns. They stomped us. Two or three picks. You know, last week, what was the excuse? Oh, people weren't showing up to, you know, to team meetings, players only meetings. And now it's on you, big bro. You're getting paid $200 mil. What's up? What are you going to do? And this reminds me, by the way, this reminds me, I've said this before in this podcast, and I'll say it again. I have something against college QBs who play on stacked teams. I really do. Because I feel like they get overrated. Going back, you know, to the 90s, or like when you play on a team with all the weapons, like Tua had, and people are like, oh, man, you know, Tua's like the best passer, or most accurate passer I've ever seen, and Tank for Tua, and, you know, people talking about 7-on-7, and Trent Dilfer talking about, man, he's like the best passer I've seen in so whoever's camp. Like, please. People need to stop talking about 7-on-7 camps. Stop talking about Manning camps. Like, who cares, bro? Can you play actual big boy football when you don't have a stacked team? And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. QBs in college who play on stacked teams hardly ever turn out great in the NFL. Because you look tremendous in college playing on stacked team. So Tua was throwing to all NFL cats, the fastest dudes. So yeah, he looked great. I'm not saying he's a scrub, but he was overrated because of the talent around him. But for whatever reason, the professional analysts and scouts don't see that, bro. I saw it. I've been you Tua's arm wasn't strong enough for the NFL. I saw that at Alabama. Guys were running wide open, just like Tyreek Hill is always running wide open. That's how you become so accurate, when guys are running wide open. But when they're challenged and your noodle arm is not able to squeeze that thing into those tight spaces, you look different. So now, again, the Dolphins are stuck with $200 million quarterback who's not worth $20 million. Who knows what can they do with them? That's a tough salary hit. That's a tough bump. So, yeah, the Dolphins suck, and I don't want to talk about us the rest of the year. I really don't. You know who's worse than Tua? And I'm going to have to close on this. You know who's worse than Tua? Justin Fields, played on a great college team. People talked about him, you know, coming out as, you know, same draft class as Trevor Lawrence. You know, some people thought he was better than Trevor Lawrence. Again, 7-on-7 camps. I think it was the Manning camp. People were like, at the Manning camp, Justin Fields looked better than Trevor Lawrence, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to sound like too much of a hater, but I'm going to say this, man. I've never been close. I was never close to playing in the NFL, not even a little bit. But when I watched Justin Fields play quarterback for the Jets this year, I wonder if I could have played in the NFL. Not because I would have been throwing passes, throwing darts, but because handing off to the running back is probably better than what Justin Fields puts on tape with the Jets. It really is. And I can't. I'm sorry, man. Like, what is it? Like, is the play calling too complicated? What is it that makes him look so bad? They were overseas at the London game. He looked awful against, was it Denver? Terrible. And he comes back and he looks terrible. They have to switch him out at halftime. Like, Aaron Glenn has no chance. So it's crazy to me, right? Aaron Glenn gets to have, like, probably the worst QB room in the league. Okay? Because Tyrod's not that great either. Tyrod's been around a while, but Tyrod's not that great. So Aaron Glenn is stuck with like the worst QB room in the league, and Ben Johnson gets to go to, you know, all right. He's okay. He'll be all right. Right? We think Caleb Williams would be good, right? We think so. Now I say it like that because he's looked much better recently. I think Chicago's on like a 4-game winning streak. Caleb Williams has looked good recently. And Ben Johnson's really, you know, got him to settle down and to make the routine passes. So I don't want to keep being a hater. So the quarterback who will not be named, but he's looked better lately, last couple games. So Ben Johnson goes to Caleb Williams, right, who's obviously talented, to Aaron Glenn, who's like, what is he supposed to, how was Aaron Glenn supposed to win with this, man? It's not fair, bro. It's not fair that defensive coordinators always end up with these jobs, usually, where a team doesn't have a good QB situation. Now, DeMeco Ryans got lucky. Texans brought him in. They're getting C.J. Stroud. Whew. But, man, when I watch Justin Fields, I'm like, yo, again, I would have never played in the NFL. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. Not fast enough. But when I watch Justin Fields, I'm like, I could at least hand off the ball, and we are probably going to look better than what Justin Fields puts on tape. The defense is going to stack the box against me, and we would have looked better than the way Justin Fields plays. Defense would have put 11 men in the box. Like the worst zero coverage you would have ever seen with me at quarterback. And handing it off to Breece Hall would have been the only play call every time. And we would look better than the way Justin Fields looks playing for the Jets. It's awful. And he did not look that bad in Chicago. So what is going on in New York? Is it just something with the Jets? Sam Darnold looked awful. Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer, looked awful with the Jets. What's up with the Jets? Is it just something going on there? Like something's going on in Miami? Yeah. I don't know what to say, man. That's really bad football. Like, come on. You're getting paid, bro. You got to do better. He's holding on to the ball too long. Like, he looks like he's trying to think through things as the ball is snapped. It's just not a good look. Again, if it were me, hand off to Breece left, hand off to Breece right. Off tackle, counter. That's all we'd be running, man. Because I sure ain't throwing the ball. I ain't trying to get hit. You tripping. You tripping. All right, y'all. That's all I have, man. That's my quick hits, my recap of this week and football and a quick baseball hit. Again, I appreciate you guys hanging out for a little bit. Again, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and all that good stuff. Check out the website again. But y'all be good. All right? Y'all have a good week, as always. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike. Sports in a rush. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.